Glad to be with you on this Monday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. A very happy Inauguration Day. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Happy coldest day of the year. Yes, it is a bit brisk outside, to be sure, but we are going to keep you warm here in studio. A lot to get to today from the high school, college, and pro side of things. We're going to take a look at some of the high school action from this last weekend that was on the hardwood, on the mats, as well as on the college side, in the pool, on the gridiron, on the pro side. I mean, I'm telling you, we got something for everyone. Little track and field, little ice, little hardwood, this, that, and the third, and I think that's what we got going on here today. I mean, a little bit of something for everyone, to be sure. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure on this Monday installment of the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. A little cold. You can see I've got the scarf on here in studio. Point FM was freezing this morning, so I'm still trying to get my core temperature up.
Yeah, I got the wool socks on today. That's the thing with me when these cold weather comes. It's my feet get cold first and then the rest of my body. So I'm trying to keep my feet warm. It's tough out there.
Fingers for me.
Yeah.
That's my biggest thing. My fingers are always cold. And I don't know, I've just got, more often than not, in a general sense, I've always got cold fingers anyway. And on a day like today, I mean, they're like uber cold. So I'm going like a pitcher in October. Going to the hands quite a bit here today.
I'm just glad my car started this morning. I was worried about that because I don't have a garage or anything.
Yeah.
And one time when I was in Sisseton, it was a freezing cold day, and I was getting ready for work, and my car just didn't start.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the worst thing ever. So what did I do? I bundled up, threw a scarf off on, and this is like at minus 20. I walked into to work because I lived so close. It was like a 10-minute walk, but it felt like 30.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Been there, done that. Certainly have had a couple of those for sure. By the way, and you can send me some hate mail on this one if I'm wrong, but do you believe in gas line freeze? Have you heard about this?
I've never heard of that.
Okay, so my mom is big on this one, gas line freeze. They always say that you're supposed to keep your gas tank full during this sort of really, really cold weather because you have to avoid gas line freeze. You got to avoid gas line freeze. I said, I keep hearing about gas line freeze. It's never happened to me, and I live in Aberdeen. And it gets pretty cold up here. And there was one day, it was probably, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, we hit an Aberdeen record. I think it was 34 below. It was one of those days where it was so cold outside, you could throw the hot water in the air and it evaporates.
Oh, yeah.
It goes into steam. I took a video of that. It's somewhere on my Twitter. But, yeah, that day, I didn't have any gas line freeze. But I don't
know.
That
wasn't too long ago, was it?
Yeah, it was probably about 6-7 years ago.
Okay.
Something like that.
A little bit longer than I thought.
Yeah, it was probably 6-7 years ago if I had to take a guess. I'll have to ask Rusty. He took the video of it. But, yeah, it was absolutely cold out there, and as Dr. Evil would say, it's frickin' freezing in here, Mr. Bigglesworth. Yeah, it is that sort of cold outside. So stay warm and check on your neighbors, especially if you've got some older neighbors that are, you know, kind of, you know, up there in age. Just make sure and check on them and make sure everyone's all good to go here today. Whatever you're drinking, make sure it's hot. We've got the hot coffee here in studio. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. We call him
Mr. Unlimited.
Here on the Sports Hub on FSA, 1420 and 98.5. A loaded weekend to unpack. We'll certainly take a look at that in segment number one on the high school side of things. And officially, we have been kind of talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. And again, we'll talk about it in more length, certainly tomorrow, I'm sure, and even probably in our next segment. But we've been looking ahead. Coaches always say, you know, you're never supposed to look ahead. But we did a little bit, and now we got ourselves, a titanic early matchup in high school girls basketball in AA. Aberdeen Central, O'Gorman, tomorrow, 7 o'clock after a really, really fine weekend for the Golden Eagles. O'Gorman remains unblemished with their record, and we were kind of talking about it last week. Hey, if they can beat this team, continue this run, they're going to be taking on a team that's undefeated on Tuesday, and that's what we got coming up tomorrow night.
It's a big-time matchup there at Golden Eagles Arena. Aberdeen Central, they gotten off to a great start this year, as you mentioned, 7-1. They've won 6 straight games and just playing really good offensive basketball the last couple games. They're getting open shots. They're getting contributions from everybody. We saw it on Saturday. Just he had four and double figures in that game versus T. We mentioned it. If you can be 7-1, which you are, going into that O'Gorman game, which is tomorrow, it adds a little bit of extra juice, and I think they're going to be ready to go, and I just think it's a great challenge here early in the season. See where you're at. The schedule heats up here for the Golden Eagles, and let's see what they're made of here tomorrow.
My wife's got book club tomorrow night, so I'm doing dad duties. Otherwise, I would have been there. I talked to the wife there last night. I was like, what do you got going on Tuesday night? 99 times out of 100, it's nothing. Tomorrow, she's like, I got book club. It's like, oh, I was going to go. But I'll watch and I'll listen over on Sunny 97.7 and, of course, and on HubCityRadio.com. Well, to the pro side of things, I did not see this one coming. I certainly don't think anybody saw this coming. An 0-3 playoff run for the NFC North. The Green Bay Packers eliminated last week. Minnesota Vikings eliminated last week. And the Detroit Lions eliminated on Saturday. I mean, all this talk about how historically good the NFC North was this year. And it was. It was incredible. But that gets you nothing in January if you can't seem to find a way to piece together 60 minutes. An 0-3 start, or I guess now finish, the NFC North in the playoffs.
Didn't see that coming at all, Tukes. And that game on Saturday, I thought it was going to be the same score but the opposite result. I thought the Lions were going to be able to score in the 40s and win that game in a high-scoring matchup. But they turned the ball over four times, and that was really the difference of the game. But how good is Jaden Daniels? He's putting on a rookie campaign for the ages, the way he's playing.
Now, full disclosure, I didn't watch the game on Saturday because I was on the road back from Sioux Falls. But I did listen on the radio, and I did see a couple of screen grabs of Jaden Daniels. I'm telling you, man, that guy reminds me of the Terminator. Do you remember the Terminator, the first original Terminator?
I think so, yeah.
Kyle Reese has a line in that movie. It's like, this thing will not do this until you are dead. It's like, this. He will not sleep. He will not, you know, he goes on this whole diatribe.
Mm-hmm.
He's emotionless. It's like, that's who Jaden Daniels is. Look at his face. He's so emotionless, and all he cares about is winning, and I'm here for it. I'm a Jaden Daniels fan.
Oh,
I like him.
I'm a big fan, too. I think he's just got complete control out there. Nothing really seems to bother him. He uses his legs decisively, I feel like. He doesn't overdo it. Sometimes you see that with, like, Lamar Jackson. He runs, and you're like, yeah, that's great, but you didn't have to run there. You had a guy wide open. He's really just a good decision maker, and the receivers for the Commanders, they're stepping up. That Brown guy they got, Damani Brown, he's playing great. McLaurin's playing good. They got a good running game with Eckler and Brian Robinson. Really, out of nowhere, that team came and, I mean, they're 13. They got 13. If you would have told me before the season started that Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury is going to lead a team to an AFC Championship game and 13 wins, I would have told you you're crazy.
Yeah, NFC Championship, but to your point.
Yes.
But here we go. Here's the quote. Listen and understand. That Terminator is out there. It can't be bargained with. It can't be reasoned with. It doesn't feel pity or remorse or fear. It absolutely will not stop ever until you are dead. That's my Kyle Reese, but that's basically like Jaden Daniels.
We need to give the nickname Jaden Daniels the Terminator now.
I think so. I mean, he literally looks like the Terminator out there in terms of his mindset, that's for sure. Now, speaking of the Terminator, I mean, Ashlyn Deemert must be the Terminator. Let's travel up north to North Dakota to Valley City State University. Holy moly. Did you guys see this stat over the weekend? Valley City State University, Ashlyn Deemert set three single-game scoring records, or at least records anyway, on Saturday against Jamestown. By the way, should be pointed out, Valley City the previous night against Dickinson, they lost at the buzzer. So you want to talk about responding well. Deemert goes off for 39 points, 11 threes, and what's more impressive to me, 100% three-point percentage. She goes 11 of 11 from downtown. You want to talk about video game stuff. I have never seen anything like that before. Wow.
No, 11 of 11 from three, so 33 of her 39 points in that game from downtown. She missed a couple from the inside, but yeah, we talk about being in the zone, and that's certainly being in some quite a zone. I mean, if you hit 11 threes in a game and you miss a couple, that's still one heck of a game. But to go 11 of 11, that's incredible. That's just being dialed in on another level that I've never really seen before.
That is otherworldly good. I mean, you want to talk about being in a zone, that's like into the stratosphere.
That was an upset win for them too, right?
Yeah, 24th-ranked team in the country, Jamestown was, and they've had a good season, and they'll continue to have good seasons, but sometimes you need another otherworldly performance like that to beat a team like that, and certainly that was the case. Final one here on the NFL side of things. I saw this over the weekend. This was before the Lions game on Saturday, and we seem to see these happen and kind of peek up from time to time on social media. A Detroit Lions fan got the Super Bowl champion tattoo on the thigh. Why do fans do that? Can seriously anybody explain that one to me? Why any fan during the season or even before a season gets the Super Bowl tattoo? I don't get that.
Yeah, we see it once a year with these fans. I'm all for crazy fans, don't get me wrong, but that's just something I would never do. Never do. I never thought about doing that ever as a fan. Makes zero sense.
I'm a diehard Seattle Seahawks fan. You're a diehard Baltimore Ravens fan. Neither of us have ever had that thought cross our heads.
No.
Ever. And I'm just not a tattoo guy in general. There's nothing in the world that I say feel that good and comfortable and confident enough to say, I want to put that on my skin for the rest of my life. I mean, there are certain things like that. I just have to, you know, remember them rather than put it on my skin. But that's neither here nor there. And final one before we take our first commercial break in the action right now. Some sad news coming out of Major League Baseball. The Milwaukee Brewers icon, baseball icon, Mr. Baseball indeed, Bob Uecker, passing away at the age of 90 there on Friday. Certainly some sad news to report. And, you know, if you go back and listen to his final play-by-play call with the Brewers losing to the Mets this last year in the playoffs, it really kind of rings it hurts a little bit more, I guess you could say, because what he said, it feels like maybe he knew that this might have been his last year on the mic. And nothing says baseball like Bob Uecker, and just really, really sad news. And for me, I come from the Midwest. I'm a guy from Chicago, but I went to college in Milwaukee, and I listened to a lot of Brewers games on WTMJ radio and driving around. Summers won't be the same in Wisconsin.
54 years of the voice of the Brewers, and obviously played a major role with all those commercials. I mean, my dad was sending me commercials for those Miller Lite commercials that he was a part of, and Major League's my favorite movie of all time, number one for me. And I just remember we went on a road trip to Cleveland at Jacobs Field, which is now Progressive Field. And that was like the first time we really got introduced to that movie. And we had those portable DVD players. And my brother, he was probably 10 years old or something like that. I was probably 12. And we're doing a road trip to Jacobs Field in Cleveland. And he would just repeat he watched the movie once, and then he would just repeat to like the opening scene of right before they play the Yankees at the end of the movie, like that opening scene where like Harry Doyle welcomes in the broadcast. And that's immediately what I thought of. Just, you know, something personal there with me and our family. But it's my favorite movie. That scene's awesome. And rest in peace to a true broadcasting legend.
Yeah, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it that he is baseball. And it feels weird saying was because he's now passed away, you know, past tense. But yeah, some of the moments that he had on the mic, absolutely legendary. If you want to go down a really fun and, for lack of a better term, kind of dirty rabbit hole, go listen to Bob Uecker and Norm Macdonald and Artie Lang talk about stories. Very, very entertaining stuff. And also, if you just have a little bit of time, go back and watch his Hall of Fame acceptance speech. I was talking to Saul Phillips about this on Friday. He just goes, just take an opportunity when you get to the hotel and watch that. It's about 18 and a half, 19 minutes, and it's just an incredible speech, and everybody was just rolling in the aisles.
One of my favorites, too, is he went on WGN with the White Sox with Hawk Harrelson for like two innings a couple years ago, like, and it was about 15 minutes of him and Hawk just going back and forth and reliving the days of baseball. Pretty cool. Check that out as well with Hawk and Bob Uecker as well.
Yeah, there is a lot of digestion of Bob Uecker content out there that you could certainly have today and certainly this summer, as the Brewers will no longer have their voice, unfortunately. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some high school news and notes. A very busy weekend on the high school side of things on the mats as well as on the hardwood. We'll talk about that and more upcoming next on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Oh, man. You know, not to get too deep and esoteric here as the Sports Hub rolls on Fox Sports Aberdeen, but when I hear Creed, I think of, you know, kind of the otherworldly. Think about heaven and stuff like that. Can you imagine what heaven would look like from a broadcasting perspective with some of the old classic broadcasters and some of those guys sharing stories like Uecker and, you know, other guys and whatnot, just sitting around the table talking about sharing broadcasting stories?
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool to be a part of.
That'd be amazing to be a part of.
Like Vince Scully and
yeah,
some of those other guys. I mean, there's all kinds of great broadcasters out there.
Those are just the two that kind of pop into mind
yeah,
for sure. But can you imagine what that would look like for all you people out there that are friends of the feather, as they say? If we can talk
all
a
you
little.
Friends of the feather.
Oh, I love that movie. You know what? I need to watch that movie either tonight or at some point in time this week just as an homage to Bob Uecker.
Oh, you gotta. You know, Major League 2 is underrated too. He's got some great moments in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as good as the first one, but he's funny in that too.
I think the classic line that'll go down in history, and you can use it any day of the week you want, is the just a bit outside.
Yep. Try the corner and miss.
Yeah, try the corner and miss. Ball 8. Man, I love that movie.
Ball 12.
Ball 12. How are these guys hanging off pitches that are so close? Oh, that's an all-timer. That's for sure. All right, some high school news and notes from this last weekend on the basketball side of things. We'll start up on Friday night as Ipswich, they would down Wabe Summit on the road 43-37. Marley Guthmiller, a team-high 15 points there in the victory. Faith Larson's 20, not enough for the Mustangs in the loss there. Elsewhere on the boys' side, you had Ipswich defeat Wabe Summit, and you guys had Stu Boley on the program there on Friday. And Ipswich had been a team kind of up and down, had some injuries and what have you. Sounds like a lot of illness, certainly kind of going through, and that kind of goes hand in hand with the cold and flu season right now. But Wabe Summit has had a nice season. Ipswich, they just haven't quite put it all together until Friday night, and that's a really quality win. It's not to say they haven't put it all together at times this season, but that's a really nice quality win for those guys on the road, 47-42. Kyle Hedich and Max Kulesa each with 14 points in the win.
Yeah, really nice win. They played Sully Buttes earlier last week. They lost by 30. It was 75-35 or 75-45 or something like that, and then we had Coach Boley on, and he was disappointed about that effort, and he was just kind of searching for some answers. And it is a young team. He mentioned the kind of the roles that those guys were playing, and they needed to step up. And he mentioned a pretty good story after the Timberlake game, or at halftime of the Timberlake game. They got down like 19-1 or something like that, and they battled back. They lost that game, but he kind of was like, hey, what do you guys want to do here? We can either go on the bus or we can play. And maybe that was kind of a turning point for their season. And they were going against the Wabe Summit team. It was just interesting hearing him talk right after Coach Amdahl at Wabe Summit on Friday, because Wabe Summit has all kinds of seniors that have played in varsity experience. And then you got this Ipswich team with all kinds of great athletes, but not as much varsity experience. And they really shut them down defensively and won a low-scoring game. But Coach Boley's got to be happy with the effort there on Friday night.
Yeah, that's a really quality win for that squad, particularly on the road. Check out the 281 Conference Tournament. That was in Woolsey this last weekend. Round two is going to be today down south at the Huron Arena. You can check that out on our website, hubcityradio.com, from the scoreboard perspective there. On high school, let's go with, or I should say on Saturday on the high school scene, starting up with the girls, Aberdeen Central, another quality win for them. They remain hot. They defeat T Area 56-41. Kennedy Withers with 12 points and 6 boards. Emma Dorr had 13 points and 3 helpers. Lauren Burkhardt with 10 points, 5 block shots and 4 boards. Ava Yeske, 10-5, points and rebounds. Taryn Hermanson was 1 point shy of a double-double. She also had 12 rebounds. You want to talk about balance. Aberdeen Central certainly had that against the Titans on Saturday.
Emma Dorr was key in that one, too. 21-18 at the half. She had 13 points. She hit 3 three-pointers. And at halftime, they made adjustments. Burkhardt only had 4 points at the half. Hermanson had 0. That's your two leading scorers. And you were able to get them going a little bit in the second half. But to your point, some great balance. Kennedy Withers, the last two games, has played spectacular on both ends. She just has a motor on the defensive end, grabs every rebound. She's always in the right place. She was big time there with the 12 points and six rebounds. Coach Burkhardt said after the game, it's kind of hard to believe she only had six rebounds. It felt like she had a double-double tonight. But we'll see how they come out versus O'Gorman, but really nice second half in that one. Really locked them down in the second half. I mentioned it as a key to the game there, Tukes. You got to dominate the offensive glass. They were plus eight on the glass total against a smaller T team that likes to shoot from the outside. They did a nice job on the defensive end and come away with a 15-point dub.
O'Gorman hasn't lost in a long time.
No.
They had an incredible season last year. They were undefeated last year. They're undefeated right now. And I'm going to go back to their 22-23 season because that's when their last loss took place. That was against Harrisburg on March the 9th. So
that's probably state tournament.
That is the state tournament. So I'm thinking to myself, how many days is that? I'll run the numbers and what have you. So this is an O'Gorman team. They're no slouch. I mean, they're a defending state AA champs. They've won, let's see, dating back to 2022 and 23. That's last two. So that's 27. 27 plus 8 is 35. So that's 35 straight wins, I believe. And they haven't lost since March of 23. So, I mean, this is a team. You want to talk about being on a heater, O'Gorman is that. And how about this, the fact that you're going up against a team that is a first-year head coach that's really gaining confidence? This would be an incredible moment, an improbable moment to a certain degree for Aberdeen Central to win a game like tomorrow night. And you never know. It's only 32 minutes. It's high school basketball. One never knows what could happen. But this would be a defining early moment for a new head coach.
No doubt about it. And it's going to come down. Can you handle the press? This is an O'Gorman team. They get in your face right away. Just watching a couple games this year, they perfected that press. So if you take care of the basketball, you're going to have a chance. They've won, like you said, 35 straight games. Quick hand math there. I remember last year in the state tournament, they played, I believe it was Rapid City Stevens, and that game went overtime, and they were able to win that one. And then they didn't really look back in that state tournament. And they're just a really tough team. I think, like you said, it's a great opportunity in front of your home crowd. And, you know, the Golden Eagles play usually pretty well at Golden Eagles Arena. So I'm just interested to see how this one goes. But it's going to come down to turnovers in that game tomorrow.
I hate to be a moral victory guy, especially ahead of the game. We haven't even played the game yet. But even if Aberdeen Central just proves they belong,
yes,
with O'Gorman in a game like that, I mean, even if you lose by four or if you lose by five, you'd love to win it, don't get me wrong. But just to prove that you are there, you belong with a team like that, with as young as Aberdeen Central is, I mean, this is a big one.
Yeah, it is. It is. Your star players are going to have to step up. I mean, that's the bottom line. You're going to need a Lauren Burkhardt performance that we saw versus Spearfish and Sturgis. I mean, that's what we talked about, Diemert with VCSU. That's what you're going to need. You're going to need something like that or kind of a balanced attack. I think that's going to be the bottom line.
Yeah, I think balance probably a little bit more realistic.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to go 11 of 11 from downtown.
No, but you understand. You need like a 30, you know, like when Burkhardt, they played Spearfish, she had 29. 30,
yeah, right.
And Hermanson had 19 and 19. Like, that, you're going to need something, maybe not that extreme, but something similar to that.
Yeah, turnover is going to be key. Got to protect the ball, and like you always say, treat it like gold. Aberdeen Roncalli, they would fall to Elk Point Jefferson. I believe that was at the Hanson Classic, 47-42 there, despite 13 points from Maddie Huber. Ava Hanson also chipping in 11-6 there as well for Roncalli. Hamlin, a nice quality win for them. They defeat Crofton. That's a squad out of Nebraska, I believe, 59-56. Addie Neuendorf with 15 points there. Addie Stephenson and Joe Stephenson also combining for 28. Addie had 13, Joe with 15 there. Nice win for Hamlin. And also you had the likes of Leola Frederick, Clip Ellendale, 37-27 behind 20 from Jill Elwine there as well. And Dakota Valley, they beat Groton 50-40 behind 15 points and 6 boards from Katie Bettsworth. On the boys' side of things, Aberdeen Central, they fall to T, 65-40, despite 18 points and 8 boards from Brendan Phillips. He also had 3 steals there as well. Mike Dutenhofer also had 11 points in the shortcoming for Aberdeen Central as they fall to T by 25 points, as it just looks like not enough balance there for the Golden Eagles, only 40 points.
Yeah, they didn't score. That was the big thing with them. They kept it close there in the second quarter. It was a 20-15 game, but It's going to be hard to win games when you score 40 points. We saw it versus Rapid City Stevens early on in the season. Just probably a disappointing outing, really, on Saturday, considering how well they played on Tuesday. And we had Coach Norberg saying, hey, we did win on Tuesday, but can we carry that over onto Saturday? They got a tough O'Gorman team coming up on the road tomorrow as well, so let's see how they respond.
Looking forward to that. As for Northwestern, they down Little Wound 73-68. Jack Hansen, a game-high 31 points in the victory there for the Wildcats. Nice quality win for them over Little Wound. Dakota Valley clips Groton area by 6, 70-64. Luke Bruns goes off for 33-9. That's points and rebounds, respectively. Ryder Johnson had 22, Keegan Tracy 21, but just not enough as offense was taking center stage there in that contest there. And I made my bold prediction. It's in Sharpie behind me. What did I say? Four players? Yeah, four players scoring 50-plus points in this high school basketball season. I was hoping maybe this last weekend we could see some of it. And not quite yet. We've seen some 30s. We've seen some 40s. But looks like I'm trending the wrong way.
Hey, you were close with Carson Vavruska of Florence Henry. He dropped 40 versus Lankford there.
Yeah.
He was close.
Yeah, he was getting there for sure. And maybe if I were in the house, he'd say, hey, aren't you that guy on the radio? I'm doing this for you, just to prove that maybe you know something. No, but a really nice performance there. 40 points in that contest for Florence Henry. And Lankford, even in the loss, they had 27 points from Cassin Keogh there. At the Redfield Classic, Aberdeen Christian, they down Timber Lake 76-63. Brooks Jett, a game-high 24 points there in the victory. Luke Kaiser also with 12. Ellis Russell with 11 points. And a nice balanced attack there for the Aberdeen Christian Knights. And also you had Falkton defeat Redfield 68-44 behind 23 points from Spencer Melius from this last weekend as well. And I got to toss this one out there. Paul Roche's crew, they remain hot. They have been the hunted all season long. And so far they have really, really come out smelling like a rose. That's a really nice win for them on Saturday, defeating West Central 49-45. Jamison Kessler had 14 points. Brody Bass with a double-double, 12 points and 10 boards. Brian Lowy was 1 point shy of a double-double. He also snagged 11 rebounds. That's a really nice win for Castlewood. They have really gone through the grinder with their schedule. And so far, they've come out unscathed.
And they've won a couple just low-scoring games, like 49-45 in that one, defensive battle, finding different ways to win. And like you said, and we talked with Coach Rosh before this schedule really heated up, you're going to have to play your best basketball. And I think it's looked good at times. Other times they've been challenged. But the bottom line is they're getting the job done. And that's what's going to help you come postseason time.
So you beat Clark Willow Lake. You beat Duell. Both of those teams are combined 13-3. And then you beat West Central, who is 7-2. And oh, by the way, tomorrow, a big one. You know who they got? Del Rapids St. Mary.
Oh, that's a big one.
I mean, that's 1-2 right there in Class B. So Del Rapids St. Mary against Castlewood tomorrow, that's going to be down south at DRSM's place. So if you have an opportunity to maybe check out some games, and if you can listen into two games at once, listen to Matt in one ear and then maybe check that game out in another ear or something like that, or some of the other games that we've got here at Hub City Radio. But it's going to be a loaded Tuesday of basketball, and I think none bigger on the boys' side for Class B than Castlewood versus DRSM tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's a big-time game. And you got to think both those teams have been circling that one since, you know, seeing the polls and things and seeing how things have gone to start this season. Both those teams are going to be ready. And I think it's you're going to learn a little bit more about that Del Rapids St. Mary's team. See, if, you know, hey, are we legit here? Can we get a big game, big win on our home floor? We'll see.
Both of those teams, by the way, are combined 19-1.
Wow.
Del Rapids St. Mary hasn't lost yet, and they're 10-0. And, of course, Castlewood, their lone loss to an A squad, and that was Hamlin. So both of these teams are absolutely loaded. And just checking DRSM's roster here real quick, do they have anybody that can really hang with Lowy there in the post? And Maverick LeBrun is one of those guys that I think he probably can. He's a little bit shorter, gives up a little bit of height, but I think that's going to be a really fun individual matchup to check out.
Great tight end for them.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, great to have LeBrun. Oh, my goodness.
Did I say LeBrun?
Yeah.
I think it is LeBrun.
Yeah, LeBrun, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, he's a big-time tight end, man. I mean, he was. I saw that Falkton, Del Rapids, St. Mary's football game. He came up with some big catches. Just, they got athletes. Is Lincoln on that roster as well?
Lincoln. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That kid's an amazing running back too. So that should be a great matchup. Get your popcorn ready for that one.
I was literally just going to say, get your popcorn ready. So big shout out to T.O. in that regard. Also, high school wrestling, an abundance of it. Check out HubCityRadio.com for that. Harrisburg for the Harrisburg invite. Aberdeen Central collectively would finish in first place there. Central big wins over Harrisburg, 33-28. Over Del Rapids, 76-6. Over Washington, 59-17. Over Roosevelt, 82-Donut. And also O'Gorman, 57-24. Check out HubCityRadio.com for full individual match notes there. It's all on HubCityRadio.com. More high school wrestling from the weekend. Saw the Mitchell invite and others. Again, visit our website, HubCityRadio.com, for full and complete details there. Take a break in the action. Come on back and take a gander at some of the action on the ice. Aberdeen Wings were in action this last weekend. They have had a pretty tough schedule there as well. We'll tell you how they did from the Odie and much more coming up. Plus, Northern State with a very, very loaded weekend with track and field, swimming, wrestling, and basketball to boot coming up. I love this guitar. And that little drum solo there at the end, just the I find myself doing that in studio over on Point FM all the time.
This song's a popular one.
I love this song. It's probably my favorite song that we play over on 106.7 Point FM, and of course over on Pheasant Country 103 as well. We got some help here in studio. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Glad to be with you on this Monday installment of the show. The Aberdeen Wings, they need to get some help in terms of the win category. It's not like they're playing bad hockey, not far from it. They've just had some tough, tough draws, certainly, as they fall in a pair of games this last weekend against the Minot Minotauros, falling 3-1 on Friday. Cole Satterdalen finding the back of the rope there in the shortcoming. They got a late empty net goal there, Minot did. Mm-hmm. It was 2-1 and battled tough, but just couldn't quite get over the hump, and then they were skunked on Saturday. 3-0, your final score there. Just the fourth time this year that the Wings have been shut out, and, you know, this has been now back-to-back weekends where the Wings have come away without any points, and, you know, you look at it and you say, all right, well, it's early. Now, granted, all of this stuff does count the same, but they've had a very, very tough go against two great teams in Bismarck and, of course, this last weekend with Minot.
Yeah, they've struggled against this Minot team. They battled on Friday, a game they could have won for sure. It came down to the third period, and they just struggled with Gavin Middendorf and Billy Batten for Minot. Those guys came up big in both games. And the game on Friday, I was listening to Jay on Saturday. It felt like it was just closer than Saturday. They outshot Bismarck on Saturday, but the real scoring chances really came from Minot. You mentioned the fourth time they've been shut out, Tukes. Three times it's been against Minot. So for whatever reason, they struggle to put the puck in the back of the net versus Minot, and I think they battled tough, and you really wish you could have won that one on Friday, but now you got to get back to the drawing board here because you struggled the last 2 weeks. Granted, you played Bismarck and Minot, but you got to start playing a little bit better here.
Also, the reality is if you want to make any sort of hay in the playoffs, you're probably going to have to get past Bismarck and Minot anyway.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, that's just it. You know, we talk about, boy, this team has a tough schedule, and they're playing this team is shorthanded, or you've got an injury to so-and-so. Like, yeah, that's part of sports, unfortunately. I mean, look at the Detroit Lions. They win 15 games, and we're thinking, hey, maybe this team finally, for the first time in franchise history, they're going to go to a Super Bowl. Well, they got some injuries here and there. It's like, well, guess what? Now they're going to be down in Cancun with KOC. Wasn't that interesting? Yeah, you had Kevin O'Connell and their head coach, the Lions head coach,
Dan Campbell
talking.
Oh, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Well, turns out 2 weeks they're going to be down in Cancun having a Mai Tai together. So, yeah, it's part of sports. You got to find a way to step up when things aren't going your way.
Well, I'm looking at these standings here, too, because you got Bismarck at 28-5 at 58 points. Austin's in second. I mean, Austin's having a great year, 24-6-2. 52 points, and then Minot 25-9, 51 points, and then the Wings are there with 41 points at 20-13-1. So it seems like there's a disparity at the top with those three teams, and I think the Wings, you know, you're going to be at that 3 or 4 spot the majority because you got too much ground to make up. But you look at where St. Cloud is, 34 points, so you got a leg up on them. But those three teams, Bismarck, Austin, and Minot, are really getting some separation right now. That's why those four games really were huge if you wanted to get back into the, you know, the Central Division standings there.
Certainly a lot of season to go. There's no two ways about it, and we're not pressing the panic button.
Oh, you're 20-13. That's a good year.
Yeah, they're having a very good season, but they will at some point in time, I think, kind of round into form a little bit. Health certainly has a little bit to do with that, no question about it, but I think at some point in time, this team is going to really kind of hit their stride a little bit, and looking forward to seeing when that moment happens, hopefully sooner rather than later. Also on the ice, the Aberdeen Cougars defeating the Watertown Lakers 5-1, five different goal scorers there for the Coug in the victory there. We'll come on back and take a look at some of the college news and notes. Northern State on the hardwood, they were in action this last weekend. And actually, as a matter of fact, before we do that, let's go ahead and take a look at some college track and field as well as wrestling. We'll start up on the track and field side of things with NSU. As the Wolves, they returned to Wax Arena on Saturday. They captured a pair of commanding victories over the Jamestown squad in dual competition. The Northern men outscored their opponents by 104 points, while the women won by 38 points. Check out our website for more details and individual notes there. And on the mats, the Northern State Wrestling Squad, they took 15 student-athletes to the Worthington Open on Saturday, recording 9 top 8 finishes. Wolves tallied the second most wins by fall and technical falls, and also finished 3rd in team point standings with over 430. Travis Smith led the way for the Wolves with a second-place finish at 174. Check out HubCityRadio.com for individual notes there on that story on HubCityRadio.com. Coming up next on the program, we're talking some Northern State hoops. Don't forget, this upcoming weekend, you've got I Hate Winter Weekend. Looking forward to that, as the Wolves will bring in the defending NCAA Division II national champions. That's Minnesota State Mankato. As that team doesn't really like to be called Mankato. Can I do this really quick?
Why don't they like to be called Mankato?
I don't know. I have no idea. Well, I was calling play-by-play of the Northern Mankato game this last fall for football.
Yeah.
And got a note. It's like, oh, don't call them Mankato. Call them Minnesota State.
Well, there's two Minnesota States.
Thank you. There are two Minnesota States in the same conference.
Yeah.
So how does that work out?
Yeah.
Well, you can call them MSUM if you want. Well, guess what? There's two
good point.
MSUMs. They played each other this last weekend. You had MSUM taking on MSUM. This is not complicated.
No.
I just call them MSU Mankato. Yeah. It's very, very
simple. Or just Mankato.
Yeah, it's simple. Avoids any sort of confusion.
Yep.
They don't like that, though.
I don't know. Maybe they're like, hey, we're the better MSUM. I don't know.
Maybe okay.
Yeah.
But you're still Mankato to us.
Oh, yeah.
To me. Anyway.
I totally agree with you on
MSU that. Mankato, just keep it simple.
Yep.
Thanks for attending our TED Talk. All right, coming up next on the show, Northern State Hoops Talk. After Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. Talking some Northern State basketball from this last weekend, starting up on the guys' side of things. A tough go against SMSU on Friday, falling 79-60. And it's interesting because I talked with Brad Bigler, head coach of the Mustangs, before the game, and talk about keys to the game. And you know, typically you hear coaches on the football side of things talk about, you know, getting off to a fast start. But he goes, you know, the first 5 minutes of this game is kind of determined who we are and how this game kind of goes. And I'm thinking, you know, it's a 40-minute game, and, you know, basketball just feels like there's more flow to it, constant action. And I just thought that was kind of interesting. And they got off to a 17-3 start, and that's exactly what he was talking about. If we get off to a really fast start on both ends of the floor, we're going to make life difficult for Northern, and that's what they had. And the Wolves just, they had no answers. And SMSU is a really, really good team, and they're going to continue to be good, and they're going to continue to go up the top 25 in the country. And that's just a tough matchup for the Wolves.
And that's what you got to do if you're playing a team that you go in, a team that's struggling, you got to put them away early. And that's why I think Coach was talking about there. You let them hang around for the first 5 minutes, then you're in a ball game. And Northern, while they haven't had all those wins, they have done a good job of hanging in ball games. So I think that's what Coach was talking about there for Southwest. Let's put them away early, and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, don't hang on. Put somebody away early, and to your point, that's exactly what they did. And Saturday, the Wolves, they hung around. They did it again. They were right there, nip and tuck. They're down by 11, which is, of course, seems like a lot. Then they hit a big three to make it an 8-point ball game, And then they get back-to-back steals on defense. They bring the full court press, and they had two great looks. James Glenn missed a three from the right wing. Marcus Burks missed a three from kind of the left-hand side of the floor. You get both of those shots to fall, and you're talking about a five-point ball game with about 2.5 to go, something like that. And both of them just wouldn't quite fall. The Wolves losing that ball game to USF 81-71. Creighton Morich had 19 points and 18 rebounds. Marcus Burks had 17 and 8 points and rebounds there. Quad had 16. Ethan Russell, 14 points. Again, they were right there. There's no quit in this team. There never has been. But I just love the way they continue to battle and battle and battle, but I'm going to really love the way when they find a way to get over that hump, and it just wasn't the case there on Saturday. But we'll see if that's something that Coach Phillips wants to tinker with a little bit more in the back half of this second semester, or back half of the season here, a little full-court press. Mm-hmm. We'll see if that can maybe provide some offensive opportunities for them, because they got back-to-back steals on it, just couldn't quite cash in. So, again, right there, just couldn't quite finish.
And they got a lot of guard play. I feel like, you know, they're a little bit undersized, they're quick, and that could really work for them moving forward. To your point, you know, really a nice game. They got good balance scoring-wise. You look at the stat sheet, but we talk about it a lot in football. We'll talk about it here in basketball as well. When you have an opportunity to make a three, you got to make a three. When you have an opportunity to get a loose ball rebound, you got to get that rebound. And those little things that just haven't been able to do, it could be a totally different – how many times have we been saying this? It could be a totally different game if one or two rolls go your way and they just haven't for Northern State men's hoops.
Yeah, they just haven't had that puck luck that we talk about with hockey. They just They just haven't had that luck this season. So – it is what it is, and it certainly doesn't get any easier as you bring in Mankato and Winona State, pardon me, coming up this weekend for I Hate Winter. As for the Northern State women, they would fall to SMSU on Friday night, 82-72. This game would be a lot closer than that final score may indicate. Madeline Bragg with 20 points and 7 boards. Michaela Jewett, a great game. And I say a great game, it was kind of quiet because she was overshadowed by the opposition, Bree Stoltzman. But Jewett had 17 and 12. Rihanna Phillippe was in double figures. The Wolves got down big. They got down by 21 points in this ball game, and they found a way to claw and scrape and scratch and find a way to get back in this game. They get down by 5 with about a minute and 10 left to go in the game. They're playing outstanding defense for about 29 and a half seconds. And then Natalie Nielsen hits a three at the buzzer at the top of the key for SMSU to go up by 8 with about a minute to go. And it was pretty much curtains after that. But she is a center on the team that hadn't made a three all season long. She gets a big one. And that puts the game kind of out of reach. But Bree Stoltzman, 41 points and 8 rebounds. She started 7 of 7, finished 15 of 19. And I said this along with head coach Paula Kruger, probably the most incredible individual performance that I've ever seen in a game was by Bree Stoltzman there on Friday night, and I don't know if anybody could have stopped her there in the conference.
Give credit to Northern State coming back there. They got outscored big time in that second. They battled, like you said, clawed their way back, and it just seems like when you get behind early like that and then you make a good comeback and you get it within two possessions, the other team that had the lead, they hit a big shot at the end of the game. It always seems that way. Probably because I've watched enough Penn State basketball in my day where I've seen that exactly happen, where they'd be down by double figures pretty much the entire game, go on a late surge, and then a big shot the other team would hit. But, I mean, NSU, they're different. I mean, they just play hard for 40 minutes. Great second half comeback, but just came up a little bit short there. But I'll tell you what, I mean, we'll talk about it here, but a gut check win for them on Saturday, huh?
No question about it. And I think it was a gut check because the way the game was trending on Saturday, and final one before we kind of move on to that game, is I just thought the Wolves sort of, this may be a cop-out answer, but I said it during the post-game show, I think that game goes 5 more minutes, they win that game against SMSU. Just felt like they ran out of time. But the Wolves do come back with a really, really emotional win there on Saturday against USF, 81-70. They got a career high from Elena Beneke, 24 points and 10 boards. Same stat line for Madeline Bragg, 24 and 10. Rihanna Phillippe just took this game over in the fourth quarter as well. And let me tell you something. This was a very, very interesting game the way it was officiated, because there were about 3 or 4 calls that went against the Wolves that were, if I'm being honest, there's bad calls. And I'm not trying to get on, oh, this, it's the refs, it's this. I'm not trying to say that, but Rhianna Phillippe had an and one to end the half. They called her for an offensive foul. And
how's that possible?
It was a terrible call. I mean, the player was A, in the restricted area, and B, underneath the basket, and B, moving backwards and jumping backwards. She got called for an offensive foul. It was a terrible call. And not to be outdone, Elena Beneke had an and-one probably 15 minutes later after halftime that she should have had an and-one. They wiped that away. Would have been
it a charge?
They called her for a charge. And in real time, I thought they were terrible calls. Then I went back and actually watched them on the NSIC network. They were incredibly bad calls. And they just battled through it. That's what good teams do. You can make excuses, or you can make it happen. And they did. And that was an incredible fourth quarter for them. They needed all of it. And a really nice win for them. And guess what? You got Mankato coming up on Friday. They haven't lost a conference game since Northern State last year. So we'll see if they can give it back to them again. We're back at it tomorrow on FSA.